Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this January the 25th on the West Coast, now January the 26th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. I'd like to welcome all those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network, and appreciate everybody who tuned in tonight. We have a special guest. Like we do every night, this one is going to join me in a conversation about the land masses of the Earth and wide open space. Wide Open Space from Jeff Lorber, keyboardist extraordinaire. Love his music. It's very ethereal, very outside the box. And if you ask yourself, when he entitles a piece Wide Open Space, what is he talking about? Is he talking about the open lands of the far west, the farm country across America that's being tainted with genetically modified foods, all kinds of chemicals sprayed on the land, in the air, killing animals? Or is he referring to the wide openness of space outside of our atmosphere? And, of course, one can imagine. We're going to talk about all the aspects of space tonight with our guest. He's a regular on Evident Footprints, has been since the show began some 4 years ago. And he is a featured sponsor on my website, directlightproductions.com. Under sponsors, click on Michael Anthony. He is also an herbalist and a chemist and a musician, my good friend Michael Anthony. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Don. Great to be back. Thank you.
There's a lot going on, and of course, the fear keeps coming out. It's one event after another, nonstop. They must have a calendar filled with false flags. People are rightfully concerned about food and that, but they go into a panic. And it seems like we keep coming back to the same topics. People can grow food. No man on this planet has the right to tell another that he or she cannot eat. That's the bottom line right there. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Don, I mean, we went to a lot of wars with World War I and World War II and the Korean War, the Vietnam War, all supposedly over such a thing. And so to see it here domestically from our own supposed government, it's quite amazing. But we know, as you cover all the time, that our government's infested with a bunch of foreign agents and...
And it sounds like a cat in the
back. And traitors. Yes, yes, a little black cat, too. An injured black cat.
Oh, my goodness.
And I think he's got to go out.
He sounds upset. Maybe it's the topic. He was quiet until the topic came.
Well, I think he's got some nature call activity.
Okay, well, do you need to take care of that?
I hope not. His timing wouldn't be very good.
Okay.
Obviously, he's a talker, though.
Yeah, well, if you feel like it, bring him closer to the mic, and, you know, we'll entertain what he has to say.
Yeah, he's got some personality. He's pretty cool. But, you know, here we have it at home. Activities that we fought against and supposedly are fighting against right now, supposedly in Afghanistan and Iraq, trying to make people free, supposedly, and yet they're taking our freedoms away here left and right, which is incredible, and it's intolerable, and God willing, the American people will just not permit such behavior any further than they already got. I mean, TSA... The molestations at the airport, if you don't go through the X-ray scanning machine, which will clearly give you lethal doses of X-ray. And so it's very detrimental to our health. Anybody gets X-rays, especially if you're a frequent flyer, forget about it. You'll have cancer in no time. And so if you don't go through it, then the pat-downs, the sexual molestation, it's incredible that it's all going on here in the United States of America.
Yes. Now, a lot of the corruption and the wars and all of this is done under the pretext of liberating people from oppression. Yet there's nothing more oppressive than war. I mean, you talk about the pot calling the kettle black. It's a contradiction of all contradictions, and yet they seem to get away with it for thousands and thousands of years. And And it's not just war on countries, war on people, war on ethnic groups, war on people based on their skin color or their religion or their politics. It's all done under the pretense of providing security and safety and hope and this ever elusive promise of peace. And a lot of wars conducted to, as we know, to overtake one's assets, their minerals, their money from their minerals, or their agriculture, or whatever cash crop can be had, including drugs. And they keep telling us that the world is overcrowded. Yet if you've ever gotten in your car and driven across the country or gotten in an airplane and just looked out the window for a few minutes, you see mile after mile after mile after mile nonstop of open entry space, perfectly livable, provided that it hasn't been contaminated with uranium or plutonium or some other exotic weaponry that's polluted the land and has a half-life of 4.5 billion years. Other than that, the land should be usable and it should be shared. Now, that's a very altruistic statement I made, and we know that that's not their intention whatsoever. Your thoughts on that in general, Mike?
Yes, Don. Unfortunately, the history of this planet has been consistently a group of very greedy, selfish, arrogant, and evil-oriented people and families that have acquired enough material wealth and power to control and influence countries, societies, civilizations, and always bring them down instead of building them up and allowing them to expand and further prosper. They always destroy them. And they usually have the same MO, the same rationale. And it's something that is like a disease. When you have something that gets sick or disease, it's technically a corruption. And the corruption will cause rotting. And if you don't treat that symptom, eliminate the corruption, the rot will continue to advance, to take over and multiply until the organism is gone. It's deceased.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the level of a country, it's the same process. You will have corruption within a government system, and that corruption will continue to grow and expand unless it's wiped out, unless it's something comes along to eliminate it so that everything can be restored to health again and vitality. And this is really all there is to it. It's the same old process. And unfortunately, it's just not recognized in time often by enough people so it can be addressed properly and corrected in time. And so this is the essential crux of our situation. And it's very sad to see it perpetuating for such a long time, cycle after cycle, and continues to exist to this very day. But that's really the crux of the situation, just corruption. I mean, you know, these elites, they wouldn't be able to advance their agenda if they weren't able to corrupt people and employ them to work for them and to do their dirty deeds. The Nazis had the brown shirts, then the SS. The communists have their KGB, and the Red Chinese have their parallel organizations. And they hire people that will be corruptible. And they're willing to do anything for that dollar, for that ruble, whatever that form of currency is. They're willing to do anything in order for their life to become easier, even though the lives of everyone else will become harder. And these despicable type of people technically have sold their souls to gain the world. And it's because of such people, like here now with TSA, these losers all feel like, well, they're serving their country. They're protecting us, they're securing our safety while I frisk you and feel you up and feel up your wife. And they
chomp down on another ding dong.
Yes, yes. And so it is. It's hilarious. It's pathetic all at the same time. And but this is really the problem. We just have to be at the individual level having enough integrity that no matter how dire the circumstances may be for one of us at a particular time, temptation will come along and say, hey, I can show you an easy way out of this. You just got to lie, cheat, and steal or become a crook, and things will get easier for you. And you can't allow that to come into your life because your soul will be gone. Yes, easy life may come to you for a short duration, but eventually we're all going to die and be held accountable for all of our actions. And then payback will be, as they say in the modern vernacular, very much an itch.
Yeah.
And so, so this is ultimately the real problem, Don. You know, we have a nucleus of scumbags, but they're very small in number. If they were unable to hire out thugs that are willing to do anything for that dollar, like a mercenary, doesn't matter what the job is, who they got to kill, who they got to beat up, as long as the paycheck's there at the end of the week. You know, Mike, I got a family to raise too, man. I got bills to pay, so this is how I earn my money.
Yeah. Now it's funny. You brought up something that I was going to mention. You have these they're charlatans, and they're really self-conscious because they have to hide in the dark mm-hmm. corners, in the dark caverns of the very society that they would like to believe that they are gods over. And in the process of carrying out their deeds, like you just said, they always have a minion to carry it out for them. They don't do it themselves. They will not. The cowards that they are.
Exactly.
And they have to do everything in secret as if it's so upright and righteous that no one should even know what they're doing. Of course, when we do find out what they're doing, it's always sleaze. They're like the tapeworm. You want to talk about the sick body being infested with a parasite that can grow up to 26 feet long and latch into your intestines. That's the government. Mm-hmm. That's business. That's capitalism. And although they promote capitalism, when we were in school, we were taught all the things about capitalism, how wonderful it was, how it promoted and aided in the creation and the sustenance of a free society. My rear.
Well, you know, Don, I mean, if capitalism is defined as free enterprise, then it's good. But there has to be truly free enterprise.
Yeah.
It can't be where you have monopolies killing off competition.
And
because
honest.
Then it's no longer free enterprise.
It has to be honest enterprise, too. And it has to be accountable.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. It has to be absolutely law-abiding. When you have something and it's profitable, great. The people want it, great. But if somebody comes along with a better idea, a better product, and people want that now, they have to have the right to offer that, to manufacture and provide it without being threatened or killed. And that's unfortunately the history of the world and the United States for at least the last 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of Americans are unaware of that, which is very surprising.
Well, they're easily hoodwinked into believing whatever story they want to make up for the day. It's l'histoire du jour. You could call it the story.
Sure, but even when it, you know, when it slips out, like in the old movie from the 80s, I believe it was called Tucker, and it's the story about an automobile manufacturer, an inventor who had his own ideas about what a car should be, like with all the features, And it was much more advanced than what the big three automobile manufacturers were providing. And so they were threatened by it. And they got the government, a senator, a corrupt senator, to do their dirty deeds and make sure this guy could not go into manufacturing because his product was superior to the big three and people wanted it. And they would have had to then take a lot of the profits, reinvest in tooling to try to compete with disc brakes and luxury interior with a lot of modern features that we take for granted today that Tucker wanted to offer back in the 50s. And they didn't want that. And so and they stopped them. And that and a lot of people seen that movie and you think that would have caused them to consider the reality that, you know, that's amazing. It happened with cars. I wonder what else that happens with. I wonder if it happens with like energy sources. Could there be somebody out there with a better way to derive energy than a combustion engine using primitive oil, petroleum, gasoline, which pollutes when you extract it. It pollutes when you transport it. It pollutes when you burn it. And so this is what surprises me because it does come out sometimes in such a way like that movie Tucker. And yet a lot of people still just don't think. It's really amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they've devoted themselves not just to suppressing the inventions, but suppressing the individuals. And again, there's no accountability for these scientists and these independent inventors that create something. And as soon as the word gets out that something's been created, they disappear. No one finds that unusual.
Right.
How often, is it natural at all for someone to disappear unless they're suffering from dementia or Alzheimer's and they've taken a walk on their own and maybe hopped on a bus or a train or a plane or, you know.
Sure.
One can disappear that way, but you don't expect someone in the prime of their life who's come up with a brilliant idea to help the whole world. And no one seems to point fingers at who's responsible. You know, killing people is not the answer. It's not the answer at all. It's their method, but that doesn't mean that it has to be condoned. It's absolutely insane. And people are pumped and propagandized into a furor of ecstasy thinking about, yeah, we went to this country and we dropped bombs and we murdered a million people. Mess with the United States and see what happens. You see, they've bought the lies hook, line, and sinker.
Unfortunately.
And it's not just about war, because the ultimate goal of war is to take over all the possessions of another country. They're doing that to our country, and people are blind to it. But you know, there's a role that they're playing that, whether they like it or not, they've stepped out into the universal playground, and they're going to have to deal with powers much greater. And certainly they don't speak for the whole of mankind in attacking those individuals who come long ways to see what's going on here. And it's their right. They have a right to be in the universe, to exist. They're all creatures of God. They're all children of God.
Yes, and, absolutely. Dinah, it's creation is vast. And it's no, there is no questioning that something's going on out there, outside our planetary system. It's very clear that there's a lot of activity that's, of course, very suppressed to the average knowledge of people today. But those that do their studying will find that obviously something big is occurring outside the sphere activity of planet Earth. At the end of the 1800s, there was a big a lot of activity for duration of unexplained aerial activity. or what they would call UFOs, but they didn't term it. Then they were known as airships. And but nobody could explain what they were, where they were coming from. Now, this is right at the end of the 1800s. And so there's a lot of speculation as to, well, what was the source of these airships? Are they terrestrial or extraterrestrial or even multidimensional? And one thing is for sure that is clear today. The Germans with the Nazis were developing very advanced technologies. And after the war, a lot of them came here and a lot of them went to communist Russia. And they were still allowed to remain as an organization. And this is what's really amazing to be aware of, is that the Nazis never really died. They were allowed to continue to function under the communist regime and over here in the United States. And our NASA enterprise is all built up by Nazis. And as it turns out, NASA was a front for the real space program that the Nazis were already pursuing in Germany during the war and even prior to the war. Space, advancement into space was one of the primary agendas for the Nazis. And that's why with their advanced technologies, they were pursuing that. They definitely had an anti-gravity craft and a lot of other technologies that were so advanced that even today it's all suppressed information. Even to this day, our government is still suppressing the Nazi inventions because it was so advanced. And it's all based, for the most part, on Tesla, Tesla's concepts. It's a new physics.
Well, they were stealing.
Yeah, they were stealing, but not just stealing, Don. You see, Tesla did publish a lot of his ideas, and he was onto the what would be called the new physics, but it was actually the real physics, and the Einsteinian physics was the front that they fed to the populace to keep us off the trail of the real science, because they wanted all for themselves, and so. After the war, the Nazis were allowed to continue here and in Russia. And then what happened? Well, we had competition with the Russians as to getting into outer space. And it looks like this was really all part of the plan to allow the Nazis to continue, but in a very discreet way, where it seemed to be really a competition between us and Russia.
It seemed to be, yeah.
That's right. But that was with the satellites and all that, that was all a front for the real secret technologies that was going on behind the scenes. And these guys were collaborating on using very sophisticated technologies, anti-gravity craft, and they were doing a lot of activity in outer space. I'm convinced of that, and it's still going on to this day.
Oh, no doubt.
We've got photographs of Mars where there's a structure on the planet that looks like one of our football stadiums.
Oh yeah, it's like a storage facility is what it is. I'm told
the dome shaped building.
Well, this is you may be talking about one of the old ones, the artifacts. I'm speaking about a new building.
Mm-hmm. Well, the dome shaped building I'm referring to in the photos that have leaked out through NASA, I mean, they look like a modern stadium, one of our modern stadiums, which is definitely curious.
Well, they have people up there. We've talked about it. Just because we're talking about it doesn't make it so. But we've provided a lot of information. I've posted some really great photos on my website.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you that they have a house built there. It looks like something you would see up in Aspen, Colorado. But it's just sitting out on the sand. And not too far from it, a stone's throw away from that house, is a storage facility that resembles some sort of an airport hangar, except the sides are sort of angled inward from the roof down. Mm-hmm. So if you can imagine that, that figure. And there are beings there, too. They're biological beings that have been seen.
Yes, yes. Now, see, they were, even way back then, they were well aware of ancient structures, artifacts of a civilization on Mars, on the moon, on other planets as well. And so they, as they ventured out, they definitely had to have come in some contact. And we've covered the Phobos 2 satellite incident, where we secretly worked with the Russians in the late 80s to study the second moon of Mars called Phobos, which is clearly artificial. It has a retrograde orbit around the planet. So it's behaving in an unnatural way, unlike all natural satellites. And so when we secretly worked with the Russians to get a good look at that, the satellite was knocked out of commission. It was called Phobos 2, the second attempt with a satellite to explore the moon of Mars called Phobos. And so Phobos 2 was knocked out of commission just when it was going in for a close examination of this, what appears to be an artificial moon, hollowed out. And so there's clearly a lot of activity going on out there, and they're well aware of it. Now, again, another example, Star Wars Defense Initiative with Ronald Reagan. Now, what was that technology for? Star Wars Defense. It's very interesting. And it came about. Excuse me?
That was the intention of HARP.
Star Wars technology came about right after Phobos 2 incident, where all of a sudden Reagan has the impetus to state that we need this sophisticated defensive technology for what? For terrestrial or extraterrestrial defense?
Well, they told us that it was for nuclear attack.
Yes, that's right, Don.
Yeah.
But when you look at Richard Hoagland's video, Monuments of Mars, which came out in the late 80s, early 90s, maybe mid-90s, around 93, 94, somewhere around there, I think, there was extra footage on that, at least on the edition that I got, and that footage is stunning because it shows these UFOs, whatever they are. I don't know if they were ours as far as man-made ones or if they were extraterrestrial or multidimensional from in origin. But you see these luminous disc-looking spherical craft hovering, just gliding along very casually at the very outer rim of our atmosphere. And all of a sudden, you see a bright flash coming off the United States somewhere. And it's a very brilliant light. You can see it way from outer space. Way out in outer space, you can see this big flash of light. Now, all of a sudden, from that flash of light, are hurtled these objects that are projected to be about 60,000 miles an hour hurtling out to space directly at these craft. And the craft suddenly just take off instantaneously into outer space. And it was estimated by Richard that they were probably hitting 20 G's in just a few seconds, which is, of course, way past anything that we're aware of having. There's no way we could normally even withstand such a force inside the craft as operators without being crushed to death. So very, very advanced means of transportation. For sure, that if it's ours, my gosh, we're already Star Trek for sure. And if it's not ours, somebody's got something that is incredible. But clearly on this video, you see this happening. And the Star Wars technology looks like it's intended for mainly that kind of purpose, not so much just ICBMs. And a lot of scientists involved with the Star Wars Defense Initiative were all killed. And they don't tell us about that. But they were all killed. Now, who's killing them and why? So the question remains by the expert studying this, and Joseph P. Farrell would be one of the guys that has done a lot of research into that and published it in some of his work. The SS Brotherhood of the Bell is a great study for getting familiar with this, because was the SDI initiative for extraterrestrial or some kind of multidimensional entities, or Was it for sophisticated technologies generated by somebody here on this planet? Mm-hmm. And so we don't know the answer to that, but it's one or the other. That is for sure.
Well, the cover story was that it was for nuclear defense. Now, we knew that that was a ruse because the very people that have the buttons to launch the nuclear weapons are the ones claiming they need to set up a defense against it. You know? And they've yes. been working in tandem with each other.
Sure.
So
absolutely.
It's clear
but,
on STS-48, STS-80, STS-75, and some others, the space shuttle film, we have these anomalies where they're saying these are ice crystals that are
that's
reacting
right.
intelligently when mm-hmm. they're being fired upon by this weapon that you described.
That's right. That was NASA's explanation for the footage. It was just... actually, urine crystals.
yeah, exactly. Then they showed us, while they were trying to debunk the truth, they showed us the flap of the urinal on the space shuttle opening up and spewing out waste product into space. Isn't it nice to know that they pollute everywhere they go? It doesn't really matter. Oh, space, it doesn't really matter. You know, there's a lot of room. It's
yeah, that's
wide,
right.
wide open that's, space.
That's right, Don. That's right. And but, you know, so you have SDI, Star Wars. Now, if it was just for ICBM defense, why call it Star Wars? You know, So obviously there's much more to it than they want us to understand. And that footage that Richard Hoagland provided that leaked out from NASA pertaining to a trial run with the Star Wars defense technology against some kind of craft hovering on the rim of our atmosphere clearly proves that this is a very advanced technology intended for a much higher purpose than just shooting down some ICBMs.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, when you look at, you know, I've been talking about the United Galactic Federation and their mothership that they're using here in this area, being 15 miles long and 5 miles wide. Now, that's not the only craft they have. That's the mothership. They have 26,000 people on that ship. And I doubt that there's any pollution, and I doubt that there's any disruption.
Mm-hmm.
It's a massive piece of, what would you call it?
It's technology.
Yeah, it's technology.
It's technology, but it's a an advanced technology. There's I'm convinced from everything I'm aware of that the light technologies are designed and manufactured in such a way, Don, that there is no pollution at all during the manufacturing as well as the operation. And when it comes to any kind of waste matter, they know how to neutralize it all, so that there isn't really any just dumping of their waste into the into space leaving it behind somewhere on a planet like we do.
No, and they can probably turn it into ballots for the next election if they want.
Yeah, well, ultimately it gets disintegrated.
Yeah,
you know, it's like instead of burning it up in a furnace, it would be more like a disintegration. You know, advanced laser beams can do that. They can disintegrate matter just with a blast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's probably methods like that. And therefore there is no waste.
But they're living actually in a healthier environment than we are here on the Earth. They don't have the poisons, the toxins, anomalous energy that's secretly attacking everyone,
mm-hmm.
attacking our DNA, attacking our minds, our psyche. And, you know, for what reason? Just something to control, because they don't have the power within themselves to do any of this. You know, they want to.
Well, they respect God and his creation, Don. And they use light energies for all of their activity.
Well, I'm talking about the evil ones here.
Oh, they're just the opposite.
Yeah.
Yes.
They they have to hide everything they do, everything they that they concoct is out of secrecy.
Yes.
What is good about that? You know, there's no truth in it.
No, it's evil activity, and therefore it has to be conducted in the shadows because it's evil. It cannot operate and function in the light of the day because it will be exposed for what it is, no good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what
that they are.
That's right. That's right. Like the vermin they are, they got to operate in darkness. That's right. But, you know, like with me, I can only go by personal experience as much as I can on this topic. I'm sure that there's an organization out there that's active that could, you know, that you call the Federation, and I'm definitely open-minded to all that, but I know I'm more, you know, I'm just familiar with the angelic activity itself and how they get around, and they definitely have a very sophisticated light technology that is stunning. They're just amazing to witness, and there's nothing detrimental about any of their technologies. It's all in harmony with creation. There's no lethal radiation exposures or anything like that. It's all very healthy. Everything about them is all about health. And so we can only hope and pray that we can rapidly advance and get to that level of operation so our beloved planet can also now be restored to a place of pure health and perfection where diseases and poisons and any kind of negative aspect to our current life, our civilization, our culture, will all be pretty much gone and replaced by a positive approach to living. Now, for example, like building computer chips, semiconductor chips, or now gallium arsenide, that's all very toxic to make. A lot of people don't realize that computer they have, anything with a chip in it, required a lot of poison, tremendous amount of poison to make. And people die just from making it. Cancer is common with manufacturing operators as well as engineers that are in the field of semiconductor manufacturing. However, there are other ways to make a chip, a semiconductor chip, that really aren't as toxic. And I'm out of that field for quite a while now, so I don't know how advanced it got. But I know back in the late 80s, there was a lot of new methods coming around that were very advanced for semiconductor manufacturing. Using light, Don. Using light. No longer using electrons, but photons. And
there's even other energy within light besides just the photons.
Yes.
And it's information.
Yes, light is information. And the photons are bundles of information. But just that feature alone, you know, sorry, that was me. Just that feature alone.
It's only my eardrum, don't worry. And our listeners.
I'm sorry. But that proves, you know, that there's always a way, you know, to make something that's safe and harmonious and healthy. And, but, you know, most likely it's not being really implemented yet because, The forces that be prefer not to have that.
Well, you see this, you know, every couple of months there's a flurry of emails that go out. There's going to be a formal announcement. So-and-so from such and such a country wants to be the first to announce that we have visitors. We've announced it already, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yes,
we're telling people the truth because they haven't seen it. You know, a lot of people haven't seen God either. Okay.
Well, visitors is plural, Don.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Because some people haven't seen the craft. Now, there are many who have. Or there are others who have read about the topic, have heard people with experience in that area talk about it, and they're convinced. Just the common sense of seeing that there are beings here on this planet, why is it so absurd that there are beings on other planets? There's about a trillion planets in our galaxy alone. What are the odds that there is no other life form on any other planet?
And
I'm not talking about us going there and taking over the planet like they do in their wars here. I'm talking about people who are born and live on these planets, and they have their own societies, and they have their own system of running the planet in a very peaceful, prosperous, abundant way, in a loving way, with the understanding that war is insanity, murder is insanity.
Sure.
And they're witnessing what's happening here because of a shift that's going on. But they will do anything to present this to us, this information, as long as they create the story and it produces fear.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are of fear. Their concern is that we should wake up and become the powerful beings that we were created to be. That's what their fear is. That's why they have to stop the message and try to discredit those that are bringing out the truth. What aspect of the truth can we expect them to ever bring out when they refuse to acknowledge it? It can only be another plot, you know, another false flag event.
We can't expect anything good from these controllers right now that are controlling our government and all the governments of the world. Can't expect anything good from them. You can't get good fruit from a sick tree. And all you can do is cut that tree down and toss it in the fire and make room to plant good trees. That's the only way. That's the only resolution to such a problem. And that's what they're afraid of. And that's what's coming their way. And there's no hiding. There's no escaping. Their time is coming. And finally, once and for all, the garden will be restored, and all diseased trees and anything that doesn't produce fruit will be tossed into the fire, and rightfully so. Because, like you said, Don, I mean, it's our divine right to enjoy peace and prosperity and abundance. This is the will of the Almighty. And anything that interferes with that has to go. And so that's what we have to look forward to. They clearly don't want us to be aware of how powerful we are as beings of God. And we're very, very powerful. Once we understand the truth about what we are and what we are not, and then we'll learn to be so independent of anything that except for God through the Father God spiritually and Mother Nature physically. We won't need anybody else to take care of our needs because we'll have our godparents to provide everything. As it's been going, many people have discovered, it's to this day, there's many people on the planet that already know this, but unfortunately the masses don't. And it's a matter of waking them up to the full realization of their full potential. But you have to want it, and that's very, at the individual level, you have to have the desire to want to know and to work towards that by studying and doing your homework.
I think it's a level of consciousness, don't you? Because it appears to be that the people who are ignorant of what's going on in the world are also not very conscious.
Absolutely, Don. The lack of conscience is directly proportional to the level of ignorance they possess. And one of my favorite sayings by the Lord, which is not in the four Gospels, is let ignorance breed ignorance until it's weary of its own offspring. And I think that's exactly where we are right now. I think the mortals are pretty sick and tired of all the crap, but they got to realize they're cooperating and they're assisting in the proliferation of the crap, and they have to learn what they really are and what they are not so that they break away from it and no longer support that activity and feed it so it ultimately withers and dies.
Mm-hmm. Well, that opens up the issue of how we have been cut off from nature, how nature has been synthesized and presented to us in a variety of packages that are just things that wear out and require us to labor to produce more of the illusory wealth that buys more of the same junk.
Mm-hmm.
It's like being on a hamster exercise wheel.
Really? Yes, yeah, just chasing your tail, going in circles, yes.
Yeah.
But Don, what you just said is the major key to our freedom, and that is it's through nature.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, all our answers are in nature. Everything, not just our physical health, but and curing diseases, but also our ability for deriving energy, which Tesla demonstrated in many various inventions of this latent energy that he tapped, coming right out of the ethers.
Mm-hmm.
And we're energy beings living in a sea of energy, but we're not aware of that. But he was. And also, it's through nature that we develop our real spiritual nature and develop a true conscience and awareness that comes with it, which brings about our immortality. And the good Lord taught all that. The answer to everything is through Mother Nature and her garden, the magical garden that we're living in. But most people are unaware that they're in a magical garden. They've allowed themselves to get to the point where everything is humdrum. You know, the rising and the setting of the sun is no longer a magical process. It's something they just take for granted for some reason, you know, without always being in awe of, wow, look at that. It's rising. It's beautiful. And then throughout the day, it's so nourishing.
Well, they've gotten used to chemtrails.
Well, yes, but
it's kind of hard to watch that.
But you know what I'm saying? As far as our mortal nature just starts taking things for granted.
Yeah, I understand.
And you lose the magicalness, like when we were kids. You see, when kids are kids, you see everything is like awesome. Everything's magical. You know, they just want to go out and play every day outside and enjoy that abundant energy they have and discover nature. Right? Kids love. At least when we were growing up, we were in the woods all the time. The woods, the streams, the lakes, always outdoors in nature, discovering it. And as adults, like the alchemists, the great alchemists, they discovered the subtle nature, which is not so readily seen with the physical eyes. It requires more astute observation. And then they pursued the subtle nature, which pertains to amazing formulations for not only cures, but longevity of youthfulness and ultimately immortality. All coming from nature, but that one there is highly guarded by nature. And it's only the worthy ones that discover it in time, because it's the grand prize that awaits all children of God. Once they set their feet on the right path of knowledge and learning, understanding how to live in the garden in harmony rather than in conflict.
Yeah. Well, I can recall when I was young, yeah, we went out into the woods. We were amazed to find edible berries growing, you know, wild mm-hmm. blackberries, for example.
Sure.
Because as a kid, you thought they were grown at the store. You know?
That's right. Exactly.
You know, until you learned, no, people.
That's where they're coming from.
They come from the store, you know.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly, Don. That's a good example of, you see, we're so disconnected that today people, I mean, even today people sometimes, Mike, how do you sprout those sunflowers? How do you grow them? And it's like, I start cracking up and I'm like, you don't even understand the germination of a seed.
Mm-hmm.
But this is how removed we are from nature.
Well, and, what's ironic is, as a child, you know, what I just said about thinking that they came from the store, and yet as adults, most adults think that's the only place they can get them.
That's right, Don.
You know,
that's
so
right.
have we learned as a species, have we learned how to provide for ourselves?
Well, we have, we have, but in our modern times, all that's been greatly suppressed, and now so many people are living in a state of ignorance again. But just, you know, so many generations back, just a few, two or three, my gosh, everybody understood that principle of where food comes from and how to generate it.
Sure, sure. I mean, I'm sort of being
no. It's a good example, Don.
Yeah.
It's a good example of why how much more ignorant we are now, and still believing, you know, because they walk around with their cell phones, their iPods, or whatever, their fancy machinery cars, and therefore they feel, you know, we're so advanced, we're so civilized, we're so great, we're the smartest ever. Without real, and they're falling into the trap because they've been dumbed down greater than ever. They don't understand anything. They've got toys, but they don't understand how the real science behind it all and how everything comes about. Mm-hmm. And therefore, it causes a civilization to decline rather than to advance.
Well,
because ultimately,
people have even devolved to the extent where they can't prepare the food themselves. If you could lead it to them where to get it, have to have someone else to do it, and it has to be wrapped in paper, in a paper sack with a few napkins thrown in there, and a couple of paper pouches with salt and pepper,
mm-hmm.
and that's a meal, that's nourishment, that's sustenance. And then they wonder why they're sick.
Well, you see, Don, and ultimately, that's right. Ultimately, when it comes to this particular aspect of nature, our body and its relationship to nature, and we have to eat, and the people will consume what you just said and feel like they're satisfied that they had some nourishment without realizing most of the time it's not nourishing at all. Most people will go through their whole lives, Don, eating every day and drinking every day, believing they're nourishing their bodies where actually they're causing themselves to get sick, like you said, because their whole lifetime they never contemplated, why do I eat? What's the purpose? I mean, what's the reason? Why do I get hungry? Why does my stomach, after a duration of time, all of a sudden start knocking and panging, saying, feed me? What is causing that? And the answer is because we're living off the sun. And our ancestors a long time ago broke away from that. And therefore, we had to get the sunlight indirectly, and that's where the plant kingdom comes in through Mother Nature. The real foods for the body are light foods, not animal dead flesh foods, which have no light in it at all. It's the real light foods from the plant kingdom, foods ripen perfectly in the sun. And that's the reason why we're eating, because we need those light energies for the body to continue to sustain itself in a healthy, youthful condition. And if we adhere to that principle and only consume light foods, like the Lord said, fill yourself with light. Okay? And he's talking not just spiritually, but physically. We have to consume light foods for the real nourishment. That's what really makes us healthy. And so today, unfortunately, a lot of people say, you know, Mike, if I just eat that, I'll be starving all day. And that is an indicator that, unfortunately for them, they are not advanced, evolved enough as a spiritual being to learn how to live just on light. And if they were to consume anything that didn't have light in it, like dead flesh, they would be sick instantly and realize the body's rejecting it because it's really not food. And so this is how far they got us into a de-evolved state through their controlling and their miseducation and keeping everyone in a state of ignorance, and therefore ultimately causing everyone to eventually live a sickly life,
mm-hmm.
and an unhealthy, miserable life. And that's how they like it, of course. But this is how it really is, and it will, and it works for everybody the same way. Once you know how to live on light energies, you'll never take anything else into your body temple because you got the power, and you're never going to want to lose that power. And that power is real power, the power of youthfulness, where you're an energy dynamo, that even when you barely got enough sleep, you're up early, you're very productive, working even physically hard throughout the day. And people say, Mike, how do you do it? I mean, and it's very simple. I fill my body with light, I live on light, and I don't take in any darkness around into my system at all, nor do I surround myself with any kind of darkness, so there's no external influences impinging on me as well with darkness.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's a part of the benefit of living out in the country, living in a wide open space where you are forced to be outside. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to become a recluse or a hermit, you're going to take on the characteristics of a recluse or a hermit. And this idea that somehow man can only achieve wisdom that way, or they like to say enlightenment, by staying alone, and it's counterproductive to the creation. Everything is designed to work together.
Mm-hmm.
Not against everything.
Yes.
Else.
Yep. You know? But that's, yes, Don, that's for sure. But no question about it. The techniques for gaining true enlightenment usually involve solitary activity for at least a duration. Oh, it all depends on the individual.
Well,
but
I'm not saying one shouldn't sit down and meditate.
That's right.
Or say prayers. And you know, you don't do that with the football cheerleading squad.
That's right.
You go to a place where you're going to find some peace and quiet and stillness, so that you can merge with that stillness. That's part of the process.
That's right.
But this idea that that's the only pathway, or that somehow you have to make a sacrifice because you're not contributing anything to the whole, you know, the vows, the religious vows that certain groups profess to take. They may play a part in purging one's soul of all the accumulated karma. But in the long run, okay, so you achieve enlightenment. Now, what do you do with it?
Well, that's it, Don. You see, that's it. If you have nothing to offer yet, then that's how it is. But once you acquire it, then it will be, you know, ultimately mandatory to share it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do, it doesn't mean, some people believe, well, you know, Mike, you got to just go out and give it all away because you possess all that now, and everybody needs to know this or have that. And so that's not how it works either. But you share it appropriately, because some people are not ready for it, and therefore you can't give it to them. But those that are ready, then you give them as much as they can handle. And that's how that works too. But you are always active and sharing. It's like sowing seeds, Don. That's our job. When you understand how things are, and you possess this knowledge of enlightenment, that's going to be beneficial to everyone else once they get it too. But the way to distribute it is like sowing seeds. You don't force it on anybody. You know that everybody's at different levels of understanding. So you scatter the seeds, and the seeds will take where the ground is fertile, and the seeds won't take where the ground isn't fertile. That's beyond your control. You can't help that. But you're doing your duty of scattering the seeds, ensuring that the knowledge will take root in various places where the ground is fertile, and therefore, you're contributing to the advancement of mankind and God's creation as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, that what comes to mind now is the artificial ways of fertilizing fields with chemicals. And you're a chemist. You have a background in chemistry. Certainly, applying chemicals to the soil to grow plants is not working out for some reason. If it was, would it be necessary to add pesticides to that? And you see, this all becomes a matter, Michael, of quantity over quality.
Yes, Don. That's it, right? You know, that's a lot of it. And the other part of it is it's easier. You don't have to work as hard. And that's the other catch. You see, the farmers don't really have to work as hard because instead of working with the soil in an organic manner where you're composting and you're moving dirt around every season, instead of that, they just go along and spray once a week or once every 2 weeks, and that's it. And so their lifestyle became easier, and right then, therefore, they felt like they could be more productive, producing more, getting more quantity. Definitely the quality is lacking because of that. But along with that, they just got a little lazy with the old-fashioned natural organic approach where you're conditioning the soil using organics through composting. Mm-hmm. And turning the soil over every season or every two seasons and replenishing it with fresh soil around your orchards and your garden area. And that's a lot more work.
Well, talk about work. Now, what does genetically modified seed do? It grows into a plant that produces seeds, but those seeds will not replicate. So now you have a problem of a monopoly on the food market. And it's not, it's, if it were nourishing food, that would be one, mm-hmm. one argument would just be right. What it does to the financial foundation of right. The agricultural community. But here you're dealing with something that is, totally synthetic. It may take on certain appearances of the real thing, but what is the nutritional value of, let's say, genetically modified corn? How good can it be for the body when they use it for fuel?
That's right. And what's curious, like with me, when the local farmer came out about 8 years ago, roughly, he was growing Monsanto strain because I got some of his corn. Next thing I know, when I'm having dinner, I got indigestion within 15 minutes, which I never, ever get. And I was having his corn with some of my veggies out of my garden. And next thing I know, I got indigestion, and I'm like, what the heck? So I'm suspecting now that this is Monsanto strain showing up locally. So I tested it for 3 days straight, got indigestion every time when I ate that corn. And what surprises me is that everybody gets that, and that's not a good sign for everybody that doesn't notice that, because then their bodies need to be tuned up a lot more so they can react in such a way to poisonous foods. But in addition to that, Don, what they're doing is they are undermining God's creation, because the beauty of gardening is that we're watching the kingdom of heaven in action, the power of expansion. You take one seed, you plant it, and you get one plant. However, from that new one plant, you get, when it comes to fruition, you get another, 100 seeds from one?
Oh, it depends on the plant. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Could be more. And so,
if you let it go to seed, of course, that's the key. If you harvest it before it's gone to seed, you won't. And usually those plants, you may or may not use the vegetable or the fruit that grows on it. You'll just let the leek or onion, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two examples of an enormous amount of seeds produced from one really not that large of a plant.
Mm-hmm. Or, it's that way with everything in nature. It's the power of the kingdom of heaven in action. You plant one sunflower, you get a big, beautiful plant. Next thing you know, you got hundreds of seeds. Okay? And so the Monsanto, these evil scumbags, are undermining God's creation through their biogenetic engineering, and they're trying to stop the activity of this power, this expanding power of creation, from existing here. And it will totally undermine not only our health, but nature itself. And that's why it's so evil and destructive.
Well,
and can't be tolerated.
Yeah, I have to ask that question. What kind of beings approach the food business that way?
Exactly. Only an evil being.
Yeah. It's quite clear. But does one have to get sick to understand that? Or, just to contemplate what happens when your body is trying to make sense out of whatever it is that it ate and it can't? What's happening to the DNA of the individual? Well, of course, it's going to modify their DNA, whether anyone wants to admit it or not. It all becomes part of the overall process, doesn't it?
Yes, sir, Don. There's different levels, and so at the physical health level, you have that, but underlying all that, this expanding power that keeps creation going forward, they're undermining that.
Yeah.
See, they don't want that action because it will bring nature, creation, to a halt. And so there's different levels of their activity here. There's sinister activity, and they're well aware of all of this. They are just anti-God and will do anything they can to make sure that God's creation and everything in it suffers and ultimately dies and ceases to exist. That's unfortunately how pathetic these scumbags are, like the Rockefellers, the Schwarzschilds, and all of the banking families and their minions that serve them, like the Obamas, the Bushes, the Clintons, etc., etc. All a bunch of scum. And they are very anti-God. And unfortunately for them, they will be cut off from God and erased from the book of life. And they will never have a soul. They will never have permanent eternal life. And can only feel sorry for them because in the long run, they are the ultimate losers. Mm-hmm. But in the short run, because of their evil activity, they're causing tremendous amount of suffering and misery, not just with mankind, but animals and the plant, all in nature, the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, the birds, everything, the insects, the bees, everything that's good from God is suffering because of these scum.
Oh, and there's no doubt that they're polluting space the same way. Only it's going to have much more severe consequences for them because they're going to have to deal with intellect
right.
and technology far, far superior to their evil ways. This is old hat in the universe. This is not something new.
That's right.
This has been going on for a long, long time.
Yeah. Yes, sir, Don. And that point you just made proves where we are in the stage of the game. We're nearing the very end of it, because when we get out into space and we think we're going to run that and control that the way they're controlling things down here, oh boy. Now they're inviting major disaster upon themselves.
They can't even run General Motors.
Come on. Yes, they can, Don. They can run it right
run
in
it
the
in
ground.
Ground. Yeah. Exactly.
That's what they do. They run everything right in the ground.
Well, you know, I watch, you know, I've been observing a lot, and I watch people react to the news as it comes out. Of course, you know, who are, you know, ladies and gentlemen out there in the listening audience, who are you waiting for to give you disclosure? You've already been given disclosure. From what source does it have to come from to be real? And why would you begin believing those that have lied to you your whole life? Why would you begin to even consider them as a source of valid information when all they do is lie? All they do is cheat and steal and murder and plunder. And there are a lot of other topics that we could talk about, Michael, to back up what we're saying here.
Oh, sure.
But you see, it takes all the pleasure they planned, you know, for thousands of years someday to have to deal with this problem, and they were going to invent a story. They probably invented 1,000 of them. And, certainly, they've sent their minions out to try to disclose perverted aspects of each version of the story. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. But none of that has been backed up with anything tangible. And why should we expect them? They can't get the weather report right, and they're going to tell us about the nature of the universe. They can't admit to us that that we've already been infiltrated and invaded by beings from other realms who are here now and have been for a long time. It's amazing. So if they can't fess up on that, what other story can they make up? Most people who are discerning or have an ounce of intellect in their little finger or their little toe are gung-ho about meeting someone from somewhere else. At this stage, this has become old hat. These old farts, these wrinkled up prunes that are running these think tanks and secret foundations, ordering the murder of millions of people because they have determined that this is necessary.
Yes.
You know, I mean,
yeah, they're very, you can't get any lower. You can't get any more of a scumbag. You can't get any more evil than these culprits. And, it is very pathetic to know they exist. And one thing is for sure, that everyone can rely on, no matter what comes around the corner. Whatever they tell you, you know the opposite is true. Just look back over the last 10 years as property, was still looking good as an investment. And so they were enticing people. Keep buying property. It's a good investment, Mike. And I said, sell it. Sell everything you got. It's going to crash. What are you, crazy, Mike? They tune into MSNBC and all these other supposed experts, and everything's looking great. Boy, what a great place to invest. Next thing you know, after a few more years, they pull the rug out, starts to crash. People get wiped out. And they act like, well, we didn't even see that coming. How did that happen? Where all the real experts knew it was coming, that it was a bubble ready to burst. And I was maybe 10 years ahead of before the bubble burst. And so I was a little too premature with friends saying, sell it now and don't invest in it because it's going to crash. I was a little too early, but nonetheless, it came about. And so, whatever they tell you, if they say this is good to eat or drink, you know it's not good to eat or drink. If they tell you this is a good place to invest, you know it's not a good place to invest. If they tell you, oh, we've got some visitors here from some other world and they're here to help us, you can count on that they are not here to help us. And if they say, well, you know, there's some other visitors that we've come across and they're no good, we can't trust them, they're the ones that are good. Mm-hmm. And are here to be to friends to us, to help us. And so that's one thing we can rely on as long as they're still around. Whatever they say is a lie. And if you do the opposite, you'll always be ahead of the game and you'll be better off.
Yeah, no doubt. I always say just do an about face and follow your nose. That's where the truth is.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So, that's so right. While everybody is arguing over who was the first victim of this shooting or who was the victim of this plane crash and what they stood for, they should be looking at who is doing this. I mean, the evidence is there. It's quite clear who's behind all of this. You mentioned NASA, and you prefaced your comments about NASA with the word Nazis.
Right.
Okay. The Nazis never went away. The Nazis never went away. We were told that in the history books.
That's right.
Well, they went and hid for a while, and they're still hiding. That's
yes,
the point.
They're hiding right in plain sight.
Yes.
I mean, you know, in this book I mentioned, the SS Brotherhood of the Bell, there's photographs with two major Nazi scientists, Wernher von Braun and Kurt Debuss. And there they are with their NASA badges conducting NASA scientific activity for United States. So they're hidden in plain sight. It's incredible.
Mm-hmm. We're supposed to honor these people because of their scientific accomplishments. But then again, you know, we've been sold a bill of goods about the reality, which is another justification, another reason for why we should find the truth on our own and stop expecting them to bring it to us. Stop falling prey to all the diversions that they throw our way. That, you know, if you don't go to this concert or this sporting event or drive this kind of car or live in this particular city, you're not with it. But then again, they're running the country into the ground. So from where do they get their expert information?
You know, and just to substantiate that fact, again, all you got to do is go on Google and type in swastika building at U.S. Navy base. Swastika building at U.S. Navy base. Look at the Google that comes right up. All your options that'll come up. Look at the first one, which is usually Google satellite shot, and you'll see a big swastika building at the Coronado Navy base off San Diego.
Wasn't it three or four years ago they were saying they were going to
modify
that?
That's right, Don. And as far as I'm aware, that hasn't happened yet. And also IBM itself in East Fishkill, where I was employed, the first building I started in as a chemist in photolithography, that was a swastika-shaped building that was just going under modification at the time I joined, because all the flyovers with helicopters to and fro, they could see how obvious and blatant it was, and so they had to modify it.
Yeah, well, they're waiting to finish the 1,200-mile fence that they're supposed to be building along the southwestern border.
Sure.
That Navy building will not be changed until they finish the fence.
Yes, so. The Nazis didn't go away. They've been absorbed and allowed to continue to conduct their activity, all under the guise of, well, actually, you know, I mean, they don't even really let Americans know this. Nobody argues once it's brought up. Wernher von Braun, working for NASA, Hitler's ace rocket scientist. He's the most well-known one, and nobody will argue with that. But there's so many others, like this Kurt DeBus and so many others that were even beyond Wernher von Braun with very esoteric technologies. And they're here. They're all here functioning. And so the controllers, the Rockefellers, the banking families that invested in these guys like they did with the communists and all the other sources of evil on the planet, of course they wouldn't let them die. They had to bring them over so they could continue on with their agenda of a controlling technology so that with an iron grip they can control the entire planet and all the people. That's what they're up to.
Yeah, well, they did that with Wilhelm Reich. They did that with Victor Schauberger. Mm-hmm. Same thing. In fact, Schauberger's ideas pertain to some of your favorite topics, nature
and
the forests, and using ingenuity and creativity in solving rather complex problems with very simple solutions.
Yep, well, what Schauberger had observed in nature with the stream as a ranger in the forest was, at least this is what we're told, coincides exactly with Tesla's concepts at the atomic level, vorticular energy, generating electricity because of the strong magnetic fields they generate, then electricity is a byproduct. And this was the fundamental atomic nature of things, unlike the static linear Einsteinian physics of atomic theory. And so Schauberger apparently observed that at more of a macro level through the vorticular action in a stream where it was forming a whirlpool effect. And then he noticed that in that whirlpool, fish were seeming to defy gravity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's apparently what we're told is how we came up with it, but it definitely coincides with Tesla's real amazing intuitive understanding of nature at the atomic level for how it really is, where atoms are technically vorticular energy bundles, not just a static energy bundle.
You'll find this interesting. I have, you know how the food industry, particularly those that sell certified organic foods, have been warning us that it's as simple as putting a label, a sticker, on a piece of fruit or on some vegetables, declaring them to be organic when it's not necessarily so. Now, if you're good at dowsing, and any of you dowsers out there can do this, you can take a pendulum into the grocery store and just hold it over the fruit. You don't have to touch the fruit. You just hold it over the fruit. When you find organic fruit, the pendulum will turn in a counterclockwise circle. When you find genetically modified food, you expect it to turn in a clockwise circle. In many cases, it doesn't move.
Wow.
Okay. It has no life force in it. In fact, this Vortexian energy that you're describing may participate or may be present during the growth process, but as soon as fruit is removed or the vegetable is removed from the vine or the stalk, it begins to lose its life force.
Right.
The ripening of a fruit is an example. When it begins to get rotten, that's the sign that the life force is leaving or has left the fruit. So it has no nourishment. This is why it's pointless to eat rotten produce.
Right.
Or spoiling produce, because it's already begun the process of breaking down and fermentation, which can contribute to disease.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine now eating something because it's filling you, but it's not nourishing your body. Wouldn't you be better off not eating at all at that point?
Yes, you would.
You see? So it's a mindset issue. It's certainly an issue of addiction to artificial substances. Monosodium glutamate's a perfect example. People will munch on some kind of a snack, whether it's potato chips or caramel-coated popcorn with peanuts or, you know, some kind of treat that's satisfying a sweet tooth, and they can't stop eating it because they're also taking in a toxin that causes them to desire more of it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is how they sell more product. Look, we can put this on the product and we'll sell a lot more of it because people won't be able to keep it around. We'll have to buy 10 boxes instead of...
They do that with cigarettes as well.
Yes, exactly. So and alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know.
That's right.
They used to sell 6-packs, right? Now it's mostly 12-packs and cases.
Oh, yeah, they don't sell 6-packs anymore?
Well, I don't buy them, but...
I don't either.
Yeah, you may see some, but by and large, people are buying 12-packs.
Wow.
You know, so it's marketing. It's marketing is all it is. It's a way to get people to spend more money on stuff that they really don't need or is benefiting them.
They know how to get you trapped into craving for something that... they want you to buy, but unfortunately it's not healthy, it's not nourishing, but you're craving it because you have conditioned yourself to that substance. Because essentially we're creatures of habit and we get used to what we're used to. And they exploit that fact.
Yeah. Well, try that sometime. I don't know if you douse, but...
You know, Don, I haven't had a chance to, but I'm very familiar with dowsing. When I was a water commissioner here in the village years back, we were in pursuit. We knew we had water. We were in emergency with water. Wells got contaminated. Nothing serious, just with iron. No pesticides, nothing like that. But the ridiculous Board of Health told us we couldn't use the water. It wasn't potable because the iron levels were just a little high. We're talking iron. I kept saying to everybody at the time, but unfortunately, these people just don't get it. I said, why are we getting shut down because of iron? It's not like it's a toxin or anything. It's just a little high on the iron over the state Board of Health spec. Big deal. It's not like we're talking about some serious toxins. And because of that, we had to use water from Poughkeepsie with a Hudson River source water, which had all kinds of crap in it. And even though they said it was potable, it was surface water going through a tertiary treatment process, and there was plenty of contaminants still coming out. And so that's the absurdity of all that. But when I got hired with a couple other guys to try to get our water plant back online, and so we did our homework. We knew there was water in the well field, but we weren't sure where. So I suggested that we get a very good dowser to pursue it, and I tracked one down. And sure enough, we hit the mother load just from dowsing. And that stunned the other two guys. And one of them was a big scientist, formerly at IBM as well. And they were very stunned, you know, by that ability. And then also, I know over the years, because I don't disclose my exact ingredients in my herbal formulas, so once in a while I'll get people that'll say, Mike, you know, I brought your formulas to a dowser to have them check it out. And I always get the same feedback. They always say that they're stunned. They say the dowser's always like, wow, this stuff's amazing. What is it?
Yes, exactly.
Right. So the dowsing is legitimate. No question about it. I just haven't had a chance really to utilize that yet, but I someday I plan on it for water in particular.
Yeah, well, my next venture will be to demonstrate this to a store manager,
and see how
interested he is in learning certain foods touted to be organic or not. In fact, they don't have any life force in them whatsoever.
That's an excellent idea, Don, and videotape it and get it out there so people can become aware of that and they can see it with their own eyes.
Well, Michael, we're out of time. This has been an interesting show, and the time has flown by. Time does fly, doesn't it?
Only when you're having fun.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing all this information. Certainly, we are not running out of space on this planet, according to those that would like to control everything we are. But then again, I think they themselves are going to be feeling the pinch of a lack of elbow room very soon. Their house of cards is going to come tumbling down upon them, and they're going to have to face what they've done to the world and to a much higher authority than anyone down here.
But yes, sir, Don. That's a fact.
It would be nice to see people wake up and come up with a way to deal with it here so that the Creator doesn't have to bother himself.
That's right. So that Mother Nature doesn't have to get too violent as she gets her house in order.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I appreciate you being on the show, and I look forward to your next appearance on Evident Footprints. And you've been doing a lot of radio these days, too. Busy.
Yes, sir, Don. I have been keeping busy with that to some degree, and you're responsible for that as well with Drew's show, and I thank you for that. I have a lot of fun with Drew, and it's always a pleasure being on your show, Don. Of course, a lot of fun. And I look forward to the next show with you as well. And in the meantime, God bless to you and your everyone listening. And stay well. And let's just all focus on being very virtuous and thanking the good Lord for all our blessings. And that way we all remain close to him, because the good Lord takes care of his own. And even though the fear and all of the negative activity that they're going to be bombarding us with will only really penetrate and impact those that are not close to the good Lord and his way of living. So I wish everyone peace, enlightenment, and a lot of personal power so that the good Lord's blessings can permeate their beings and everything that they love.
Well said. Michael, thank you for being on. It won't be till next month that you come back with us, but I look forward to your next visit on Evident Footprints. You have a good night.
Thank you, Don.
Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and tonight's special guest, Michael Anthony. I want to thank Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints over at BBS Radio. We had, we had both Seth and Don Newsom on the sound, I think, or is it just Don Newsom tonight? Don's probably in the background there. I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints, can't even say the name of my show, Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us tomorrow night when my special guest will be PhD, author, forensic psychologist, and metaphysician, Christopher Holmes. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.